And welcome in to a Bergkamp Wonderland radio show. Happy Thanksgiving to all you American Gooners. If you weren't asleep before that match after your turkey, you probably are now. What a snooze fest. Anyway, I'm joined by the Ginger Prince himself. I'm joined by Josh. Josh, how are you?
I'm wonderful on this wonderful Thanksgiving day. What more could we get from Arsenal than an awful result?
Yeah, not giving me lots to be thankful for, other than some promising displays from a couple of younger players, but we'll come on to that. Also joining us is the anti-Ginge. It's Ellis Mel.
Hello. I'm not too pleased to be in this ginger sandwich, but hey-ho, happy Thanksgiving to all the American listeners out there. I'm not thankful for some of our Arsenal players, but I am thankful for some of them as well. So there you go.
I'll tell you what I'm not thankful for is the bathtub picture we got of Danny just a little while ago in the chat as well. It was not great.
He looks positively rabid in it.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And that's just the rabies. That doesn't have anything to do with the bath. But let's talk about a Europa League match. We could have topped the group with a draw today. We're already through the knockout stage, so we just needed 1 point to ensure we were top of the group. Against a Cologne team who, and Josh, you may know this because you're on the Hipsters podcast as well, but is it true that Cologne does not have a league win this year?
Yeah, they're poo.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure that we put exactly how poo we were out there to the fact that we lost a game to a team who has not won domestically all season, which is a pretty difficult feat as well in Germany. But I, for those playing Schrader's drinking game, it's whiskey again today. So, and lots of it because of the result. But we'll get to the cheeky there, Ellis, as he lifts his Ozil mug. Yeah, just don't let any don't let any journalists see you drinking out of that. They may get their feelings hurt if you incite some hate speech on their timeline.
That's exactly why I got the mug.
But no, let's we're gonna make sure that this radio show is less boring than that match. And to do that, I'm sure I'll just be drinking a lot. So let's get into it and stop with the horseplay here. Lineups came out, and I had sort of been chatting with Ellis a little bit before the match in pro clubs, and I had thought that maybe we had actually tried to take like a pretty experienced team there. We did take an experienced team into that match. Josh, I'll start with you on this. Not as many youngsters starting, I think, as we've had in past Europa League matches. So we had some of our sort of second string and more veteran squad players coming into this match. But when the lineups came out, were you confident at all? I had predicted a 3-1 victory for us. So I was confident. I also thought Giroud would have had a much better day than he had. But When you saw the lineup, were you pleased that there was many more sort of senior team players and guys that have experience from front to back for us?
Yeah, it looked like a team that coming into the Christmas period that is in the next month or so that we were giving game time to those players that we'd expect to be rotating with the first team to make sure that they're fit. So if you look at the list, you've got Welbeck who's just back from injury, Debuchy, Mertesacker, Holding, Giroud, Chambers all will probably get time across the Christmas period and haven't had decent game time before then. But looking at it, yeah, it looked like a team I went with 3-1 as well for a victory to Arsenal. But it just looked like a team eventually that was out there just to get the minutes rather than anything else. There wasn't really any cohesion. And it was just a case of, I think, Wenger was more happy that, the likes of Welbeck got 45 minutes under his belt. Chambers got, 60 or 70 minutes, and Giroud played the whole game. So overall, I think when we look back on this, the fact we managed to lose yet still win is so Arsenal. But otherwise, I think, it's what we've got out of it is minutes under the belt. and that's the positive you can take from the game.
Yeah, I that sort of said that initially going into our Europa League campaign was, I don't really care if we advance or not. Let's just get people minutes that need minutes. Ellis, do you think maybe we should have started some of the younger players? Maybe do you think it was our sort of maturity and us thinking that we would just be able to grind out a result with the experience we had that maybe was a little naive at times with and let's not act like Cologne was a world beater today. They definitely could not get into this match. And there were times when I thought we actually played pretty well. And we definitely denied them the ball a lot. But do you think maybe youth was needed to sort of – it just didn't seem like we had a real sense of urgency. Like our players always sort of thought it was just going to happen for us without ever really trying to create it. Do you think some youth in the starting lineup would have maybe prevented that?
I'm not sure it's just a case of not having sort of any youth though. I think it's just the sort of the senior players that we did pick to start. There's no one really there that can sort of make that important pass between the lines, the killer pass. Like Cochin and Elneny, you know what you're going to get with them. Neither of them are that particularly adventurous going forward. And when they do get into those forward positions, they're not someone that you'd really rely on. In terms of the sort of the front three that you had going on there, Giroud, he's had moments, hasn't he, in the Europa Cup where he's just looked just completely static and not getting on the ball at all. And Wilshere, he's had a few games when we thought, yeah, he deserves to be in the starting 11 and start some more Premier League games, but he hasn't really done much recently in the last few games he played. And I wasn't too enamoured with his performance today, but I'm not sure if it's the fact that there wasn't any young players there. Like in terms of the young players we could use, like who we had on the bench, we had obviously Macy and goal. Willock and Nelson are two guys that come to mind, and then obviously Eddie Nketiah. I think it would have been nice to see him probably start up top maybe with Giroud, and against a team like Cologne, we've obviously mentioned that they've only got 2 points this season, or haven't got a win, and we don't necessarily need to go with five at the back. We probably could have got away with four at the back and had another attacking option there. Maybe, like you say, someone a bit younger like Nketiah, who's got a bit more energy about him and got a bit more going on and wants to like make an impression. So it may have been useful to start someone like that. But at the end of the day, we didn't, and we've got the result that we have.
We did. We did get the result that we have, regardless of it.
Michael Owen, summary there for you.
shout out to some people in the chat group. There's Jim Howson. There's No Limit Stunna from a nice sort of late 90s, early 2000s sort of rap. The Walrus and the Hedgehog is there. Johanna Jones, Rudy Rasloss is there. Fro Grauer. Also, and I'm probably going to slaughter this, but Vlop Lob or Vlop Lob is also in there. Also a Cologne fan. So well played. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well played to your boys today, even though it was a soft penalty. We'll come to that. But cheers for joining us. Just no, don't anybody be racist and crap in the chat tonight, because I'm really not up for it. You'll get banned quicker than
I bet. Vlop Lob is thankful today, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure he is thankful. Yeah, especially for a Europa League referee who I don't think that would ever be called a penalty in the Premier League for sure. Who else is in here? Joe V82. Let's see. Seeing who. Esprifel, Kyle Palmer, Doris Ahmed. Thanks, everybody. Also, just tons of other people in here as well. Appreciate you guys joining us today for the radio show. Let's get into the first half, because man, I could have taken Ambien and stayed awake longer than I did during that first half. There were some decent chances that we had. I actually thought our best midfielder today was Coughlin, who was actually distributing the ball pretty well. Obviously he's pretty limited in what he can do, but I think the game that he played today was pretty good. I think somebody earlier in the chat box put that he had like 94% pass rate today, which is pretty good for a limited player. I think Europa League is sort of his level, to be honest with you. But a first half, I'll come back to you on this, Ellis, just a first half that, We had a couple of decent chances and just couldn't sort of put them away. It was very Arsenal-y, because I think we had like 70% possession as well.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it, I couldn't seem to get a stream to work all for the first half. I'd get in for a bit and it cut out, but I was listening to commentary all the way through. And yeah, Coquelin seemed to be the guy that had the most chances falling to me, came close of one, and he hit the, was it him that hit the post as well of another?
It was, yes.
Yeah, so he came close to getting his first ever Arsenal goal, which would have been nice for the lad and obviously good for us considering. But yeah, it just shows to you that possession doesn't win you games. You can have as much possession, and if a team doesn't come out and attack you and can just sits back and is cohesive and good at defending and don't concede, then they're always going to have a chance. Like, it was a typical curse of the commentator in the second half when they said, oh, Cologne looks scared to come out, and lo and behold, they come down, win a penalty and score the goal in the end. But in the first half, although, like we've mentioned, the team, maybe some of us weren't happy with the team and there wasn't enough sort of energy there, we still looked like we were the better team and looked like we would be the eventual guys that would get the goal. But it's just the way it didn't go. And I was surprised by Coquelin. Maybe if we had someone a bit more better at finishing, we may have got a goal. But I thought he did well. Like, we can be critical of the guy, but he played well, and he can only do as well as he has got his limitations, and that's not his fault. It's the way he sort of played, really.
Yeah, I was actually very pleased with his long balls today. Actually, were pretty good. Josh, I think probably the one bright spot in the first half, particularly, was our one sort of youth player that we did have out there, and a guy named Ashley Maitland-Niles, conservative. Thank you,
Ainsley.
Him too, and
his little brother was out there as well.
No, he seemed to have sort of the impetus for us, and really sort of drove things down that left hand side. What did you make of him in the first half there?
Yeah, I think, as you say, he was probably the most promising player that we had on the field, to be honest, where you'd think the creativity would come from. I think Giroud looked like he was a bit sluggish in the first half, probably due to the injury that he had. Wilshere, I think he was fairly poor all game, to be fair. Didn't really raise his game until right near the end when Nelson started to steal some of the limelight from him. But yeah, I think Maitland-Niles was probably the best player for us across the game. It's between him and Mertesacker personally. But I think when you say that in a 1-0 loss to Cologne, where you'd expect to be on the front foot, then yeah, I think overall, offensively, he probably was our best player. I think he just needs to work on his crossing, probably with his left foot as well. He is predominantly right-footed, which probably held him back from getting those balls in. But yeah, overall, I think, as you say, Maitland-Niles had a really decent first half.
I do feel sorry for him though, because like, he's sort of, when he has got into the team, he's played right wing back, he's played left wing back, he's played CDM. I'm not really sure. I don't know if people have watched him more, what his actual position is, and maybe if he was played a bit more further forward and maybe on the right side because of his right foot, he may be a bit more dangerous. But I think regardless, he did well anyway in that game down the left.
Yeah, I don't want to tar him with this brush, but he is like the second coming of Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's too multifaceted for his own good. He can play anywhere across the field, and that fact that he's a utility player almost holds him back. He needs to really just pick a position, work at it, and because I think Wenger said he'd play better through the middle, but obviously we've seen him out wide, and personally I think he'd be a perfect foil for second fiddle to Bellerin on that right wing back position, because we've already got kind of left wing back sorted. So I personally want to see him over there, to be honest, and right wing back would be perfect for him, so you can actually get some decent end product in.
Decent end product from a wide player at Arsenal. What are you talking about, Josh? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We went into halftime. Thankfully, it was a nice pick-me-up to watch some commercials, because the first half just could not end sort of fast enough. I didn't feel like we were really going to, we just didn't seem to have sort of that drive. We came out in the second half, though, and it just seemed like what little impetus we did have in the first half, we sort of lost that after halftime. Josh sort of mentioned it, and they get a breakaway, go down. And this is probably where I think there's going to be a lot of disagreement back and forth, especially in the chat box with you guys. Is I think it was Garisse goes down in the box. There was a challenge from Debushi. A lot of people said it was maybe schoolboyish. I don't tend to disagree with that, but just because a challenge is schoolboyish doesn't mean that it deserves a penalty. Ellis, I'm going to come to you on this one first. Should it have been a penalty or no?
It's difficult. It's very soft. And like you said, it was pretty schoolboy from Debushi. How I saw it in real time was Debushi got the wrong sort of side of him. He was quite clumsy. He made the contact. The calm player looked like he was already going down anyway. But from a referee's point of view, I can see why it was given. It was extremely soft, in my opinion, and you can see it given and not given. It's quite easy to make the decision for it not to be given. But also, it just looks clumsy from Debushi, in my opinion, and I think he should have done better. So I'd say it probably is just a pen. But like I said, you could probably get away with it being not called a pen before, and we've had it. Those sort of things go against us and go for us. So it's difficult, really. I wouldn't want to be a referee because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're always going to upset one half of the fans. So, yeah, for me, soft, but a penalty.
Josh, your thoughts on the on El penalty?
Same as what Ellis said. I think it was a penalty. Debushi is just on the wrong side of that player, and it's schoolboy fullback play to even try and go for a tackle there, and he does, and you know, play with fire, get burned, and that's what happened. He tried to make a tackle in a stupid position. There was cover. The guy wasn't going to get a shot away because who was running alongside on the other side? Was it Holding or Mertesacker?
Not sure.
One of the two. He was sandwiched by two players, and I think he's getting in with a combination.
One of the tall blonde defenders was right there, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's between Holding and Mertesacker. But I will go with Mertesacker being in that position. I think between him and Ospina, and with the quality of shooting that we saw from Clone in the rest of the game, I think he easily could have dealt with that. And I think Debushi was almost trying too hard in that game. We saw a couple of times that he was pretty rash with his tackling. I think it's the thing he's always been, is rash in the tackle, even more so than someone like Mustafi, who's been criticised of going to ground too easily. But yeah, for me, it's a penalty. I don't think there's too much more of a discussion there. Unfortunately, bugger all else happened in the game, so it becomes a talking point.
I do think it's one of those calls that you probably get away with in the Premier League, but maybe not in some of the other leagues, like, or in Europe. I think it is one that you probably would get, but in the Premier League, we'd probably get away with it. But yeah, I agree with you, Josh. I think it is just a pen, just about.
So I'm going to go ahead and disagree with both of you.
Ooh.
Yes. I think yes, it was somewhat reckless, and maybe you don't put yourself, obviously you need to be on the right side of the attacker. I really think the contact was, while there was contact, it was not enough to warrant him going to the ground. I think he was going to go to the ground when he started to feel it anyway. And then I think what tipped the referee was seeing Debushi's arm flail towards the end, which may have seen the push there. I think that's why. I tried to make sure I watched the feet on the replay. Didn't seem like the feet came together. I feel a bit hard done by it. But you know, what are you going to do? It's a call in a game. And the good news is we still have another match. I believe it's against Bate there, or Bate, whatever you want to say. I don't know which is right, to be honest with you. But I find it we should have put away our chances earlier on in the match to make sure that a penalty like that didn't cost us, you know, the 3 points, especially when all we needed was a point. I think that was maybe our issue, was we knew we only needed a point going in, and that's sort of how we played. And then when you don't get a call that goes your way and you have that happen, it makes it even that much harder to sort of swallow there, because I really felt, I felt hard done by it. I as soon as he went down, I was like, that's not a penalty. Watched the replay, still felt it wasn't a penalty. And both of you guys are wrong, and I'm right. So let's move on.
No. But you see that thing given like all the time across loads of leagues, especially in Europe, because if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, people go down with minimal contact anyway. There's loads of times when people go down and win free kicks and penalties where you say there's not really enough contact.
Just because a lot of people do the wrong thing doesn't make the wrong thing.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's getting called anyway. Like, the thing is, DiBucci there has given the referee a choice to make because he's put the contact on him. Yeah, fair enough. I get your point, Jason. I agree with you. There's not enough really there to warrant him going down. But the fact is, he's already going down anyway. And the referee just sees contact and the player falling over. So I can see why the referee's given it. So basically, we're right, you're wrong.
It's a holiday here, so I'm going to have to be right.
it's not a real one.
It is a real one. It is a real one. Let's if you got there's almost nothing left to talk about in the match. So you guys start firing away with your questions, and we'll do our best to start to get those answered. It's probably gonna be a short-ish show, maybe an hour. That'll make the Welsh Justice happy there, as he hates long radio shows. The good news is I live far enough away from him. I could do as long as I wanted to. He would just sort of yell at me in the chat group. Let's talk about some of the substitutions that we brought on. Chambers comes off, and who came off at halftime? Danny Welbeck came off at halftime. Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't even checked Twitter, to be honest with you. Was that for an injury? Was it precautionary? Was it maybe just to get Iwobi some playing time?
I wouldn't say the latter. It was for Welbeck to – he's got 45 minutes under his belt. He's not played first team minutes at all since his injury. And he hasn't really played a lot of reserve games, if I remember rightly. So 45 minutes, that'll do. And, yeah, give Iwobi some game time as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, world's best host here, not knowing what's going on in the middle of a game. So Iwobi came on at halftime, and then we ended up I want to say we brought Reece Nelson on next. Was it for Chambers, I believe, on the right-hand side? And then a little bit later, the Wonder Kid, Eddie Nketiah, comes on. Josh, the youngsters, you know, especially Reece Nelson, had a great shot. Unfortunately, it was just right at the keeper. And Nketiah was also in a good position to sort of to knock one home and couldn't really get it. But what did you think of the youngsters there in the second half and we all know that Wenger's going to bring people on in the 70th minute, but do you think it's worth getting these guys some more playing time, sort of maybe at the 55th or 60th minute?
I thought when Nelson came on, he was probably the most promising of the three. Are you really calling Iwobi a youngster anymore? I know he's 21, but I think he's probably a first-team rotation player, but yeah, I thought Nelson looked the most promising. I think he had that move near the end, which, you know, he just dribbled through their defence and unfortunately had quite a tame shot at the goalkeeper, which then Jack Wilshere tried to replicate to no avail either. I think it's kind of difficult. We know these guys need minutes so we can see what they can do in this kind of condition. I have to say, it's a bit like when we go to Turkey, when we have to do the kind of Istanbul trips, when we send a couple of youngsters out there. I think that's where Maitland-Niles made his Champions League debut, if I remember rightly. Just to kind of get those players used to that kind of first team atmosphere, and especially with the way that Cologne were doing, it was kind of a more friendly but intimidating atmosphere compared to the flares of the kind of Turk support. But overall, I think, yeah, that's the kind of minutes these guys should be getting. At Bate is it next week or is it the week after? It's the week after.
I believe so.
On a Thursday.
Yeah, that kind of game is completely written. You know, it doesn't mean anything. Like, if this game has already guaranteed that we finish top of the group. So I think it's an opportunity, especially with the Christmas fixtures coming up, to properly rotate that team and give the likes of Nelson and Willock a full game and only really bring in first-teamers if completely necessary. But I think that's the opportunity that those guys will get in that kind of nothing game.
I do want to say the Cologne support today was absolutely top notch, by the way. Just noisy the entire match, even when they weren't playing well. So really, really good to see. I think we saw sort of what a good atmosphere can do ourselves this past weekend. And we just got to make sure that we do that no matter who is who's in the M's. That's Emirates for all of you that don't understand my English accent. Couple of shout outs again into the chat. We appreciate everybody watching. Give us a thumbs up if you like us. Give us a thumbs down if you don't, and then just stop watching if you don't like us. Like, don't keep watching. Goonshy 77 is in there. Akib is in there as well. Still missing goals from pro clubs, I see. Let's see. Gooners in USA is still in there as well. And I'm going to go ahead and just start with this question from Gooners in USA because I see it right here. It's a question for myself. Did Arsenal eat 11 turkeys before the game? Looks like the tryptophan was on full display today. I'm not going to say it was 11 turkeys. I'm actually probably going to say it looked more like 11 half turkeys because they all looked really skinny. And I don't think you can be that skinny and eat a full turkey by yourself. But the tryptophan definitely was in full effect. And for our people who don't understand what that is, it's pretty much a chemical released when you eat a lot of turkey that makes you sleepy. So that was very much looked like we definitely had that. Or we looked like we had concrete boots on. Either one there. So I don't really know. But continue to get your questions in here for us. Piyush Kapoor is in there. Hello, Neil Vigela. Ola, Greg. Was it a penalty? Well, it was given as a penalty. Yes, it was. And 235100 is in there and says Jack thinks he's as good as Ramsey. Who can fall over more? Coquelin's always going to win the fall over contest. Let's see. This is a question for Ellis from Akib. Walcott, not in the squad. Good news or great news?
Oh, bless Akib. He really likes Walcott. One of his favourite players, I think, because it comes from the team that he follows so dearly to his heart, Southampton. So he's obviously a big fan of Theo Walcott there. Yeah, Theo Walcott. I think he's got to go, hasn't he, in the summer if we can get a good offer for him. Either that or let his contract run down. I don't know if he's got an illness or an injury or whatever the latest rumour is about him, but he just doesn't make an impact. I think a lot of people before last season were saying he should have gone. Obviously, he stayed another season. This summer, we expected him to maybe leave, along with some of the other guys like the Ox, who eventually did go. But he's still here, and I'm just flabbergasted by him because he does pop up. I know Josh is a big fan of him. He does pop up and score a lot of goals, and he has scored against the big teams. He did last season. He scored against the big teams, but he just goes missing in games, and it's frustrating because you think someone that's been at our club for so long would have more of an impact, but he just doesn't seem to do it for me. But yeah, whether it's good or great news, I don't know.
Josh, what are your thoughts on Theo?
I like Theo Walcott.
Other than the fact that he was apparently ill, which is why he hasn't been in the team these last few games.
Yeah, that's what they said for the North London Derby, and I believe that kind of carried over. He's got the case of the Dannys. But
Oh,
yeah,
you mean
I'm not.
he's just cranky all the time.
Yeah, he wakes up at 5 in the morning or something, or goes to bed at that time. I don't know how it works anyway. The fact he's not playing at the moment, the guy's ill. I think he would have started this game if he was fully fit. And you know, we can say a lot of things in hindsight. Perhaps he would have scored a hat trick, perhaps he would have won. I don't know. But he was a player not involved today, so I don't really want to dwell on it completely for that, but I'm sure there'll be more opportunities to mention how good or bad Theo Walcott is as a player and depending on the game that he's had. But yeah, I believe he is properly ill as opposed to a Mesut Ozil stub toe or other spurious illnesses that we've had before. I think Mertesacker had the flu once that was very, very skeptical. But yeah, I'll take him at face value. I think he's ill. But the fact is, we're not overly reliant on him like we used to be, and that can only be a good thing.
All right, I'm gonna leave it here with you on this one, Josh. Greg asks, why do we play Nelson and Niles out of position?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. I'd really like to see their heat maps for where their average position is, because I don't think they're playing as proper wingbacks like we see with Bellerin and Colossal Snatch. I think that they're playing a lot more centrally, and they are actually taking up the positions that they'd naturally play when they're playing for the reserves. That's one of the issues why we're lacking width, especially when Nelson came on, and we kind of lost that wide right player. There were a couple of occasions, I remember John Hartson on our stream getting very agitated that Nelson would refuse to go into the box, especially on crosses from the opposite wing. But I think he's listening to what Arsene Wenger's trying to get him to do, but when he's not thinking, or when he's got the ball and he's trying to do something, he's naturally gravitating into the position that he'd rather play in. As I say, they're not, you know, hard and fast lanes that you've got to stick to when you're playing football. You know, this isn't like a Tony Pulis or Jose Mourinho side where, you know, the line is the line, that's your position, you've got to stick to it. This is how you've got to play. Arsenal are a lot more free-flowing in their positioning. So I think, although on the team sheet it says they're playing as, you know, a left wing back or right wing back, they're not actually playing in that kind of position overall. But yeah, I think if they need to, like we saw Nelson with that run, he came on at what, right wing back for Chambers?
Yes.
And the run where he had the shot, he was coming in from what, center left of the field, which is where Welbeck was playing and Iwobi was playing. So you've got the interchange in there. So I don't think there's actually, you know, too much to read into it. I think it's a case of just double check where they're playing when they're actually on the field, rather than consult the formation, because that just really gives you a rough idea.
I want to come to this as a question from Colonial Cannon here, Ellis, for you. Chambers, yeah. I don't some twat. Yeah, Chambers. I don't think he wasn't terrible at right wing back. I think it doesn't suit him. Do you think he's still has a future here at Arsenal? I mean, and what did you think of his sort of performance today? Did it warrant more games possibly there against lesser opposition, maybe in the Cabrero Cup or in our continued Europa run?
I'll go on about his actual performance first. I didn't think he had a great performance. He definitely didn't, for me, make me think, oh, maybe he should be starting more at right wing back. I have been quite critical of Arsene Wenger sort of playing these sort of round pegs and square holes and playing Maitland-Niles and Nelson in these right wing back positions. And I would have preferred maybe an actual right back or left back to go in those positions. But for me, Chambers is more of a centre back. He hasn't really got the pace to play down the wings. He hasn't really got the ability on the ball. He's not someone, like you've said, he's not been able to compete with Bellerin at right wing back. And when Wendabucci was sort of our main right wing back, right back, he wouldn't have been able to get in there. And I think he plays centre back, doesn't he, for the under 20 or whatever, under 21s for England. And I think he's much more suited to that. The way he plays, he's suited more to a centre back role. So I would have preferred perhaps to have him as one of the three centre backs and then someone else at right wing back, maybe not Debuchy because he's now not really got that pace to be getting up and down the pitch. But for me, I didn't think he really set the world alight or put in a performance that would make the manager think that he could play there in the future. As in terms of his actual future at Arsenal, I'm not sure really. He's one that when he first came into the squad, he looked really good and everyone was quite excited about him, and he got all these ridiculous comparisons to Arsenal legends of old. But he then went on loan to Middlesbrough last season, and by all means, he looked quite good there. He was in a slightly all right defence at Middlesbrough that are a bit more tighter than maybe ourselves can be. But it's just, yeah, I think he probably will end up going. He's not exactly been able to get into the squad this time round. Obviously, we've kept him in because he's really there as a necessity. Gabriel's gone away. We're playing now a formation that has three centre-backs. I think maybe if a decent offer had come in from the summer, we may have seen him go. But for now, we sort of need him there as cover, because at the moment we've obviously got Mertesacker, who's probably in his last contract, and then obviously going to retire and go on and manage the youths. You've got Koscielny, who's not getting any younger. You've got Mustafi as well, who's another one who could have gone in the summer. And then you're looking at Rob Holland as well, and that's it, really. Four centre-backs to cover three positions and play a lot of games and a lot of fixtures because we're in Europe. So we'll have to keep hold of him for this season at least. But I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on next summer and we got someone else in, to be honest.
Josh, any thoughts on Chambers, or do you concur with Mr. Ellis's assessment there?
Yeah, I concur with him being a right side centre back of a three. That's where he played so well for Middlesbrough last season.
All right, fair enough. I agree. Everybody in the chat box agrees, I'm sure, because there's never disagreements there. Josh, I'm going to come to you. Gooners in USA asks, if Cuchulainn broke his duck on Thanksgiving, would the expression be changed to breaking your turkey?
Probably. I don't know. I don't really understand American culture that well, apart from the NFL. I haven't really moved on from that. I didn't actually know you had any more culture above that.
We do. Well, we don't have our own culture. We just steal everybody else's. Yeah.
I did learn about jumping the shark, though. So perhaps it's jumping the cock.
Okay.
And
fair
that's
play.
Where Arsenal go downhill after that.
Good on you on that one. That was lovely there. And in hand egg right now, the Minnesota Vikings are beating the Detroit Lions 27-23. On some Thanksgiving Day hand egg, or as we call it, football, which they don't really kick a whole lot. So thanks for that question, though. Gooners in USA, appreciate you coming in. Again, just a happy Thanksgiving to all the Gooners, whether you are in the U.S. or not, you're celebrating Thanksgiving. Just give thanks. Give thanks that we still beat Spurs 2-0 on last weekend. And let's hope that we can continue to do that in the league. Let's see. Joe V82 asks, I'm going to come back to this one to you, Josh. Joe V82 asks, anyone in this team who can compete for a place in the starting 11?
No.
All right, well, that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for watching. Go ahead.
We'll extrapolate on that. OG might be able to get a place in this first team, but otherwise, no, this is more or less our C team, let alone our B team that we put out today. Everyone was trying to get minutes in there. You know, when you've got Alexis and, well, just see the team that we've played against Tottenham. Would you have swapped anyone out for that? No, I wouldn't have. So yeah, I don't think they're really going to be pushing for it. Perhaps Iwobi, maybe Giroud, maybe Welbeck. Can't think of anyone else that really as a proper get themselves into contention for that starting 11.
I think our friend Chris Lodato, who plays in the podcast pro clubs, I think he made a good point in our little chat, saying that it'd be nice to see the sort of youngsters and Nelson, Zane's mate Niles playing with some of the more first teamers and see how well they can do. Obviously it's difficult because it's hard for them to get into the team, like I think Josh, you said in the chat, didn't you? Who do they replace to then get into the team? But maybe against someone in the Premier League who are more confident of beating, try to give them a go and see what they're like. Because it's going to be hard for them to make an impact when they're playing in positions they're not really used to. I know you've said about the heat map and where their average position may be, but they are going to have to do stuff that they're not used to doing, like tracking back and defending.
We might have an opportunity against Burnley. We'll have to see. They are playing incredibly well at the moment. That's the only issue, that whether or not we can risk bring one of them on. But if they're going to sit back and defend like you'd expect a Sean Dyche team to do, then we're going to need some kind of creativity on there, and that's where you could see, to be honest, I'm still seeing Iwobi coming on at some point in that game to try and help break them down, but maybe a Nelson, just something a little bit different. I'm not sure about Jack Wilshere. In recent weeks, you know, he started this Europa League campaign absolutely superbly, but now he's kind of fizzled out. I don't know if you guys think that as well, that his performances since, really, was it Bate away, where we absolutely smashed him in that first half? I can't really think of Jack Wilshere having a decent game after that.
I think he had another, I don't know if it was before or after, was it Doncaster or someone like that we played against, and he looked quite good in that. But then obviously there was the point that it's Barté away or Barté and Doncaster. Like, let's see how he performs against the big clubs. But yeah, I tend to agree. Like, he hasn't really done much before or since that. And it's nice to have him fit and healthy. And I do like the guy. He is, he's English. He's come up through the youth academy. He's like a good lad, but you can't stay in the Arsenal team just for being a good lad or someone with a bit of passion. Like, you need more than that. You need quality and you need someone who's going to impact games. And like you say, Josh, he didn't impact this game. He didn't impact the 0-0 draw. And it's time's slowly creeping up on him, really, in his Arsenal career for me. I don't know what Jason thinks.
Who was that? I'm sorry, I've been trying to tweet.
The oh, second Jack coming Wilshere. Of Mr. Arsenal. Yeah.
Who?
Second coming of Mr. Arsenal, Jack Wilshere.
Oh, Jack. Oh, passion. Our passionate friend.
Passion.
You know, yeah. I love Jack Wilshere to death. I absolutely do. I think he'll never be more than a squad player for us, with maybe a run of 5 to 10 games of form, and then he'll sort of fall back down again. But it's tough because he could be one of those players who, once he goes into it, like maybe a slightly different system, he could with the right players around him, he could do very well. So it's tough. I'd hate to see him go, but at the same time, when he does leave, most likely, regardless of the circumstances in which he leaves, I would probably wish him well and cheer him whenever I saw him play in another team's jersey, unless it's Tottenham.
In his defence, he is playing with Coquelin and Elneny behind him, who aren't like exactly the most mobile, gifted players, and a very stationary Giroud hasn't really got much runners coming off him in his defence.
Yeah, but at Bournemouth, he was playing with, you know, Andy Sermon and Harry Arter. you know, Benicophobia up front. A guy who can smash in goals in League One and the Championship. You know, he hasn't had a decent first team around him in a long while. So perhaps we have to, you know, there is that case of stick or twist with him.
Yeah.
That we either throw him in for the huge games against big teams, or it's a case of, sorry, mate, if we put you in the team that, you know, you don't get in our first team, but you're shit in our second team because all the players around you aren't as good as you. But yeah, that's the problem we've got.
Yeah.
Here's a question for both of you.
Okay.
The teams that we've put out in these group stages, like, they're all sort of similar. How far do you think we can get in this competition with those sort of types of teams? Do you think we're going to have to start putting in a few of the more first teamers as the competition goes on further? Or would you?
Josh, you go first.
We can get through the next round for sure, because we, the people who finish top of their group don't get the Champions League dropouts, which, knowing our luck, you know, look at Man United's run last year. I think the hardest team they probably got was Ajax, maybe Lyon.
Yeah.
Celta Vigo were in a good run of form, but finished mid-table in their league. You know, we could end up with motherfucking Juventus if results go not our way.
Juventus.
Motherfucking Juventus. Yeah, you know, we could end up with one of the best teams in Europe dropping out because of they've had a dodgy start to their campaign. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but we can certainly get through the next round with the kind of team we're putting out, just a better performance from them rather than different personnel.
I agree. I think if we just went with this straight team, like, we could probably get to like the quarterfinals before it really start to show in this tournament. That's sort of my which I honestly think we need to be mixing in more of the first teamers and sort of second team squad guys more so than we are now, because you know, what are we going to do next year when we get to it? Hopefully, if we win it, or if we finish top four and we get into the Champions League, and then none of our players are used to playing two times a week anymore, and we're going to be gassed by January. So hopefully we can get far though in this and get Champions League, and that'll be a good problem to have to worry about next season. All right, we're going to start to wind down. Let's see, who is this? Where are we at? Greg again asks, if we win the Europa League, the FA Cup, and the Carabao Cup, would that cover over the cracks or be a successful season? I'll ask that to Ellis first, and then Josh, if you'll pick up after that.
What was it? The Carabao Cup, Europa League, and what else?
And the FA Cup.
And the FA Cup. For me, that's a successful season because that's three trophies. Like, when's the last time we ever won three trophies? I know a lot of people sort of look down upon on the League Cup, Carabao Cup, whatever it's fucking called. For me, if you take out that and we win the FA Cup and the Europa League, that's a successful season. If you take out the FA Cup and we're in the Europa League, even though we sort of took the piss out of United winning it, that secures our place in the Champions League. And for me, that would be a successful season because I know we joke and say like the fourth place trophy and all that sort of shit and we take the piss and people have taken the piss out of Arsenal for it. Winning a cup and also getting Champions League after finishing outside it and missing out on it last season, for me, is an improvement at least. And it gives us something to use to attract the sort of big name players because more than likely, as Alexis is going to go, so we're going to need something to lure players in other than a lot of money. So even without those three, I'd say one of them three would be a successful season, but definitely all three. I'd be well happy with that. I'd be chuffed.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ellis. I think it would be a successful season. It depends on our league situation. If we get relegated at the same time, that'd be pretty bollocks. But, but I think if we finished, you know, top seven and we come out with those three trophies and the Community Shield, I can't remember if we won it. So long ago, but yeah, I think we did. Did we beat Chelsea?
We did.
We did.
Yeah, so that's four trophies. That's even better than three.
That's four trophies in Mourinho's logic, isn't it? Anyway,
yeah,
that's four trophies. Not only have we done the Mickey Mouse treble, but we've also beaten it by getting another cup. So
would that be the Donald Duck quad?
We'll call it the turkey
quad. That sounds like some dirty little sex move.
I can't believe you haven't heard of the Donald Duck quad, Ellis. let's. I think we're gonna wind this down. Josh, final thoughts on the today's match, and then going into Burnley at the weekend.
I'm so happy it's over. but yeah, I think overall we got minutes into some players' legs that needed minutes in those legs. That's the positive I'm going to get out of it. We're top of the league or top of the group. We can't finish lower than that. We're already qualified. We've got a game in our fixture calendar that literally means nothing now, to us anyway. I think other than that, yeah, it's on to Burnley, which will be a sterner test than we've had there for a while.
I know, I was silent, Jason. no, they are. I believe they are just behind us in the league there. So really, really going to be a good test of how we can carry our form over and how basically these two completely different teams played two matches within a week for Arsenal. So you can't even really say that like we're taking any momentum. Like this loss is hindering our momentum going into the weekend because it's almost. It's completely different players, especially the starting 11. So, Ellis, your thoughts on today's match and what we can take into Burnley, if anything, from today?
I don't really have many thoughts on the match at all. Like similar to Josh, just glad it's over. I think if you asked me at the start of the season about the group stage of Europa, I'd be like, yeah, play the kids and hopefully get through and top the group. And that's what we've done. So I'm happy with that. It's not exactly a thrilling game to watch. Unfortunately, I had to watch it so I could come on here and talk about it. But yeah, I haven't really got much thoughts on the actual game itself. Like Josh said, it's a completely different team to the one that went out and beat Spurs. Well, hey. But yeah, just moving on to the Premier League and hopefully when we get the actual first team back out, they can build on that result against Spurs because really, let's be honest, none of the players that are playing in this game were on the pitch then and probably won't be on the pitch against Burnley, maybe as a sub possibly. But yeah, just hopefully they can build on the good result against Spurs and go from there against Burnley. And like Josh said, that is going to be a difficult game and it will be a test of them. We've obviously, there's a couple of games this season against the Stokes and the Watford that we fucked up on. And they weren't the sort of team that Burnley are this season anyway. So let's see how we go from there.
Yes, let's see. I am also happy that the match is over because, man... that I need a nap. But happy that we're still able to pull the top spot if we get a result against Bate there. Big game though coming up in the league against Burnley. We need all the points we can get for sure with our where we're at in the table. I'm still buzzing off beating Spurs at the weekend. I don't know if anybody else is, but it was so freaking gorgeous and lovely. I just say thanks to everybody in the chat box today who tuned in. We really appreciate it. If we didn't get to your question today, send the podcast account a DM or whatever, and they'll try to get to your questions on Monday's pod. But thanks to everybody. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all the Gooners all over the world who are celebrating. Even if you're not celebrating, just be thankful. I know some British people think that everybody in the U.S. goes around the table and says what they're thankful for. My family does not do that. That's extremely corny. But be thankful for today. Be thankful we beat Spurs. And be thankful that you're not a Spurs fan. That's really all I can say. That's what I'm thankful for today. Josh, what are you thankful for today?
I am thankful for all the videos of Americans fighting tomorrow Black Friday sales.
Definitely have to keep your eye out for those Walmart videos, especially. Ellis, what are you thankful for today?
America, yeehaw. Yeah.
Get her done. I am thankful that it's not absolutely murderously hot or bitterly cold outside today. That it's a very lovely day. And I'm going to go finish drinking my whiskey and then go head to a party with some friends later tonight. So I'm thankful for that as well. Anyway, you guys, thanks for watching today. We really appreciate it. Tune in on Sunday's match after Burnley, what I believe it will be. Jason Ellis has been roped into doing it again as well. And I want to say, I forgot who the third person is, but it will be Danny. Somebody. It may be Danny. If Danny can wake up at 5 p.m., which there is no excuse for a grown man to not be able to wake up before 5 p.m. I don't care what your sleep schedule is. Danny, make it happen. Thank you guys again for watching. We appreciate it. And we are out.